all owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Where is yours made? On today's American Warrior Radio Veteran Entrepreneur Discussion, we have a gentleman who would love every American to ask themselves that question. When he was a kid, 75% of the apparel worn in America was made in the USA. Then that figure began to decline, dropping as low as 3%. While working in the corporate world, he saw the extent to which offshoring was costing American jobs, and he had a vision. Where is yours made? In 2017, he founded a company to create stateside jobs and return pride to the phrase made in America. In 2020, Authentically American grew their business 50%, and hopefully they're on track to double their business this year. Our guest today is a West Point graduate, and he's been featured in Forbes magazine, Barney & Company, Fox News, and now American Warrior Radio. Welcome to American Warrior Radio, Dean Wegner.
Ben, I'm pleasure to be a guest, and the best one yet, right here today.
The best guest ever?
Best interview, best platform to go ahead and have an interview. So I'm honored to be your guest.
I'm not going to take that away from you, Dean, but it might be a little early in the show to say you're our best guest ever. But let's see. We have to have aspirations.
You got it.
And actually, that sort of touches, Dean, on why I was excited to have you on the show, because there's a lot that our listeners can learn from your business acumen. But also, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the broader ideals that are woven through the whole Authentically American philosophy of doing business. Let's start a little bit with your military career. You went to West Point, graduated West Point. What inspired you to go to West Point and join the Army?
So I graduated West Point, Ben, in 1993, and the initial interest for West Point came from my being a hockey player. And I had two goals coming out of high school. One, I wanted to play Division I hockey. That was a dream of mine. And number two, wanted to get the best possible education I could. And when the coach reached out and shared more and I did my homework and research, I was just blown away to find the history and the values and the education, just everything associated with the United States Military Academy. And I fell in love with it. Fortunately, was accepted and just had an incredible 4 years there.
Now, so every entrant to a military academy, that doesn't have to necessarily be an appointment from your senator or congressman. There's another route?
There are some other routes. For me, it was specifically a senator from Pennsylvania, Senator Arlen Specter, who nominated me.
Well, hockey to West Point makes perfect sense now, Dean.
All right.
And you graduated, you became a helicopter pilot. Now, Ben's dumb question of the show, how many aviators actually have a Ranger tab? There must be a story there.
I will tell you, Ben, the story goes back to my senior year at West Point, and it's an important decision everyone who's getting ready to graduate makes, and that's which branch of the Army you're going to serve. And I had no idea back then, and I think most of the listeners probably had no idea, that there are 18 different options. There are all the combat arms like infantry and field artillery and armor. But there's also a lot of combat support, combat service support like transportation or finance or military police. And I really narrowed it down to two, Ben. One was infantry. Infantry is the heart and soul in the Army. If you want to be a general, that's going to be the best route to go. That's where most generals come from. And the second one was aviation. And Ben, you remember that movie Top Gun?
Uh-huh.
That was one of my favorite movies, and that's ultimately what emotionally pushed me over the top and said, that's the lifestyle I want to leave. And, you know, to answer your question, it is incredibly rare for an Army aviator, to also have a Ranger tab. And this is how this happened, Ben, because at flight school, they made an announcement and said, hey, guys, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We're going to hold a competition and send one of you to Ranger school. And I thought, Ben, here was my chance to see, you know, what it was like on the other side of the Army. And I was very fortunate. I won that competition and found out just how miserable it was at Ranger School.
You know, it seems to me, Dean, that it actually makes quite a bit of sense. I would think that they'd want to have the folks that are flying the soldiers in and out of combat to have a better appreciation for what happens on the ground down in the mud, but maybe not.
Well, very few would choose to do that, Ben, but to your point, it gave me an incredible appreciation. And most people may have heard of Ranger School, but they're probably not familiar with what all it entails. And there's a lot of military doctrine and tactics associated with Ranger School, but at its core, it's a leadership course. And what they do in Ranger School is they deprive you of everything you think you need to survive, namely food and sleep, and then puts you in incredibly stressful situations. And if you go through straight through, it's 72 days. And then on day one, there were 340 of us. And for 72 days straight, you live on one meal a day and 2 to 3 hours sleep a night. And then they put you in incredibly stressful situations. And after those 72 days, we lost over 80% of our class. And there were only 70 of us left on graduation. And tying into Authentically American, Where's Yours Made, and our entrepreneurial business, I didn't know it back then, but Ranger School was such great training for leading a startup, because back then it was all about no sleep and incredible stress. That's the life I'm living now.
Yes, I agree. I know I tell people when I left my, I use the quotation fingers, my day job to start my own consulting practice, I traded security for freedom. And sometimes that's no bones about it. Sometimes it's not, well, a lot of times it's not the easiest path. Now, Dean, how long was your Army career?
So I had 4 years at West Point and 7 years active duty, 93 to 2000.
And so you just, that was going to be your commitment? You didn't think about making it a regular career?
I had considered it, Ben, and I love service to country. I love the camaraderie and esprit de corps. I just love the higher sense of purpose. But I also have an amazing family. My wife, Kelly, and I have been married 27 years, and we now have 4 incredible kids. And the one concern I had, there was just going to be a lot of time away from family. And that was one of the big driving forces that said it was time to go ahead and, you know, serve that broader mission of West Point. And that's to provide the nation with leaders of character to serve the common defense, whether it's in the military or business or civic minded. That's what West Point is all about, providing our nation with leaders.
Absolutely. Now, your transition to the corporate world, Dean, I found it interesting. You know, so often we have veterans on that if they're going to go the corporate route, it's going to be someplace like a Raytheon or a Boeing. But you decided to, well, a little different sort of company, Procter & Gamble, Mars. What led you into that arena?
So that was ultimately an introduction from somebody back in the West Point days who was now working at the Association of Graduates, and they introduced me to somebody at Procter & Gamble. And Procter & Gamble, if you're not familiar with Procter & Gamble, it is iconic brands like Crest and Tide and Folgers and Bounty. I mean, it's just a long, long list of iconic brands. And so many of the case studies that I learned during my MBA were focused on P&G. I thought there could not be a better training ground. There not could be a better place to go ahead and continue to build my skills and my leadership.
And don't forget the Swiffer.
Yes, that was actually launched in 2002 when I was there, and we can tie that into our business strategy. But I think I had shared with you before, Ben, that it still blows me away to this day that the year one marketing budget alone for Swiffer was $100 million.
Wow.
And that is why so many people today are familiar with that brand, because P&G said, we've done our research and we know there's a gap in the marketplace and we've got the right brand to fill it. We just need to let everybody know about it. And when you spend $100 million, Ben, you can do that.
Well, and Dean, that $100 million, that's more than we make in a week here at American Warrior Radio. True statement. We need to step away for a little bit, Dean. Before we go, though, quick question that's on my mind. Do the Mars employees get free samples?
They do not. That is one thing I respect. They make everybody buy. So there's samples for our customers, but you know, it is a another longer story about just a great culture there with Mars and the Mars family.
Dean, we come back. I want to talk about your continued path toward entrepreneurship and just the wonderful, wonderful philosophies that Authentically American represents. Folks, you can learn more. Visit AuthenticallyAmericanBrands.us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. For our veteran entrepreneur feature this month, we're joined by Dean Wegner. Dean is the founder and CEO of Authentically American. You can visit their website, AuthenticallyAmericanBrand.us. Dean, sort of an interesting, well, in some ways, kind of a straightforward path to where you are now, but in 2012, you partnered with a friend or associate in purchasing Omega Apparel, which, as I understand it, made uniforms for the U.S. military. Is that what first got you into the textile, the T-shirt sort of business, if you will?
That is. That was my first foray, Ben, into the apparel industry. And one of the shocking things I learned about the apparel industry is something you mentioned at the top of the show. When I graduated from West Point in 93, over 50% of the apparel in the U.S. was made in the U.S., and today it's less than 3%. You know, that is all that's made here in America.
Dean, I almost don't want to hear the answer to this question, but I have to ask it. Are our military uniforms 100% manufactured in the U.S.?
They are, and that is by law.
Okay,
the
good.
Very amendment. So it's a scary question to ask, but I am happy to share that that is something that, you know, our legislative body has made sure that everything for our military is sourced, produced, and manufactured here in the U.S.
So where was it? So I guess it wasn't at your time with Omega, Dean, but maybe with Procter & Gamble. At which point did you first have this vision about Authentically American and then start to sort of put the meat on the bones of that idea?
Certainly, and it really was that first experience, you know, buying my first company, because one of the things I am most passionate about is job creation. And we were a government contractor, and my thinking was, I want to win more contracts because then we'll create more jobs. But Ben, as I started to really understand the industry and understood the business, we don't actually create jobs. It's more of a job transfer because it's a bidding process. So Ben, if you and I are bidding on a contract, you had it before me and I outbid you. Those jobs, in essence, transfer to me. So net, there's no jobs created. And for me, Ben, that's when the wheels started turning. And that's when I thought back to the days at Procter & Gamble and Mars, and I thought, what if, instead of being a government contractor, what if we build a brand? And I also asked another what-if question, what if, instead of doing what 97% of companies do and produce overseas because it's cheap, what if we made the intentional choice to produce only here in the U.S. And think of the jobs we could create. Think of the difference we could make. And if we deliver on our vision to build this iconic American brand that's truly American-made, think of the incredible legacy we could leave. And that's where it's all started.
Dean, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen it. One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called Dave, and it's about a body double who ends up playing the president of the United States. But there's a scene in that movie where he's talking about his economic plan. And in his day job, before he became the fake president, he had a temporary help agency. And there's a scene in the movie where he says, you know, there's nothing like when you see a person that gets their first job and you tell them they've been hired, and just how wonderful a moment that is for that person. And I tell you, that was bouncing around the back of my head as I was preparing for today's show, thinking about the great things you're doing at Authentically America. Now, Dean, people invest in a business plan, but they also invest in people. And as you're going out there to find the angel investors to pitch this idea, there's some folks, I guess some of them were your former colleagues at West Point, but there's some guy I never heard of called Darryl Waltrip. But I get the impression he was inspired by your idea. I mean, probably the business plan, too. He's a smart businessman. But just the concept, the Authentically American, bring jobs back home, make quality products right here in the USA. Is that an accurate summation of why Darryl came on board?
That is absolutely true. And if you are a NASCAR fan, you know that name. It's a household name. Darrell Waltrip, old DW, as they like to call him, and a mutual friend introduced us. And I'll tell you, Ben, it was less than 5 minutes into the conversation, and we were talking about making an investment. He said, Dean, I'm in. I'm like, first of all, DW, that's phenomenal, but that didn't take very long. And he's like, Dean, two things. Number one, my values and who I am and what I stand for, they're authentically American-like. So I believe in your vision. And equally important, I believe in you. You've had incredible leadership training and experience at West Point in the Army. You've got incredible marketing and branding experience from Procter & Gamble and Mars. So I believe in your vision, and I believe in your ability to execute it.
Was he the first person you spoke with on that? I think you had 18 investors.
He was not the first. He was the first one after 1 year of validating the business proposition. Okay. So I had four initial friends that were in. Three of them were West Point graduates. Another one was a mutual friend that, you know, had similar values and also believed in what we wanted to do with our brand.
I just, you know, it's been in my experience, and I guess not comparable, but when American Warrior Radio first started to get calls and emails from movie studios and national level publicists and PR agencies, that was sort of an aha moment of, hey, you know, maybe this thing does have some legs. And the, I'm guessing that conversation with Darrell was maybe a similar experience for you.
It absolutely was. And Ben, when you and I were connected and I learned a little bit more about American Warrior Radio, you know, we're in two completely different businesses, being radio and apparel, but the ethos and the values are very similar, because you think of the words American and warrior, and you tie that with our ethos. We're a brand that celebrates patriotism. Mm-hmm. We're a brand that believes in the American worker, and we're also a brand that honors American heroes. And very intentionally, we donate 10% of our profits to veteran and first responder charities as a way to honor our American heroes. So that's one of the reasons I was so excited for you and I to talk.
Well, and we'll touch more on that particular segment of your business philosophy a little later on, Dean. What so often with entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of us have great ideas. I mean, it's not unusual. I'll wake up at 2 in the morning and write something down, you know, on a napkin with a crayon next to it. Not a crayon. I'm not a Marine. All lots of love to my Marine friends out there, but they'll get it. But what that going from vision and idea to actually in the ground producing product, what are some of the steps or advice that you would have for others out there who just can't seem to get off the X?
I will tell you, the very first recommendation I always make, Ben, is find what you love. Find what you're passionate about, because as you referenced earlier, it's an incredible amount of work, more than most people ever imagine to start a business. But if you are pursuing what you love, you're pursuing your passion, you know, then it doesn't feel like work. And I will tell you the second recommendation, and that is it's based on one of my favorite mantras. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And if you are an entrepreneur and you're in an island unto yourself and you're trying to do it all by yourself, it's going to be challenging. And what I did, Ben, is I reached out to, you know, friends of mine. I reached out to colleagues that I've worked with before who I respected, their values and opinion and their experience. And they helped me shape that initial concept and vision, because I had this big idea, this big audacious idea, but I needed help pulling out the details. And that's one definite piece of advice is I would make to any entrepreneurs, don't go it alone. You know, enlist friends, family, colleagues that you work with to be on this journey with you.
Dean, I know you're a privately held company, but if you don't mind sharing, how much was ballpark range? How much was your initial seed capital that you had to raise?
So year one, that initial seed capital, we raised $500,000, $500,000.
Okay, and you're now over seven figures.
Yep, we are a seven-figure revenue brand, and you know, we want to quickly get to eight and then nine, and then the ultimate vision to be this iconic American brand with brands I've worked with before like Crest and Tide and M&M's is to be this iconic billion-dollar brand, iconic billion-dollar brand. And that's just not the marathon. That's going to be the ultra marathon for us. So we've got a long way to go. But I will tell you what we've been dealing with over the last 2 years with a global pandemic and a lot of the headlines about boats being stuck off the port in Long Beach. It is an incredible time to be American-made. There's just a growing sentiment back to that question, where's yours made? you know, people are asking that question, and they want American-made products.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and I think that's why the timing of this conversation is perfect. Dean, we come back, want to pursue that idea. You know, I read a quote that for a guy who said, I hate manufacturing, I find it interesting you ended up in the manufacturing business. Maybe that has to do with getting out of your comfort zone. We'll follow up on that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're appreciating these compelling stories, why not consider joining us and helping us produce more content? Visit patreon.com, patreon.com/American Warrior Radio to find out more about how you can help. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bula Garcia. We're talking with Dean Wigner. Dean is the founder and CEO of Authentically American. A lot of great stuff at that website. Visit AuthenticallyAmericanBrand.us. In fact, Dean, just this previous week I was out driving around. I'm pretty sure I saw a sticker of your logo on the back of a pickup truck. I'm serious. I know that guy.
Well, Brad, that makes me laugh, that makes me smile, and brings me great joy because anytime I see somebody wearing Authentically American and our vintage flag is out there visible, that brings us one step closer delivering on that vision to build this iconic American brand. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. I didn't want to pull them over. But one thing you mentioned before the break, Dean, is something that part of the reason I really appreciate having you on, and maybe this was a lesson from Ranger School, the idea of opportunity and chaos, and the opportunity for American made in the context of this pandemic. Dean, I wish you were in the computer chip or the pharmaceutical business, because this whole thing has really exposed some vulnerabilities in our system. And, you know, it's not just about jobs, but I think there's security issues. And I'm very concerned. I think we still haven't seen the light at the end of the tunnel on this thing.
I am with you, Ben. I am equally concerned, and I'll tie in that concern with just broader what's important to us, because the heart of our mission is our passion for job creation, for creating American jobs. And that tagline or question, where's yours made, is not specific to apparel. And we not long ago had a midterm election, and I tell everybody, you don't have to wait once every 4 years. You don't have to wait every year to vote with what's important. You can vote every single day with your wallet what's most important. And that Where Is Yours Made tagline is designed to be provocative. When you go ahead and make your next purchase, whether it's apparel, whether it's something technology related, no matter what it is, you know, check the tag, check the label, see where it's made, and then vote with your wallet on what's most important.
Let's talk a little bit about the challenges, though, Dean. And one of the other thing, and one of the interviews I saw, you say made in the USA with no exceptions. I'm guessing one of the challenges as you started down this path was sourcing and production. And I think you're spread across several states now. But what were the initial challenges in identifying those raw materials and developing your subcontractor base?
Hey, Ben, it's really summed up knowing that only 3% is American-made. So there are not a lot of people that do it here in the U.S., and that specific quote around no exceptions, the reason why I highlight that, because some companies play games and they try and dupe consumers, and you will see things like designed in the U.S. Mm-hmm. You will see things like assembled in the U.S. Or what other brands will do is 99% of what they offer is produced overseas, but they may offer a token few items that are American-made, trying to go ahead and play that up. But if you go to our website, AuthenticallyAmerican.us, everything there is produced here in America by American workers.
I mean, that's got to be a monumental challenge, though, Dean. I mean, everything from zippers to the fabric to the string and the buttons.
It is a monumental challenge for sure. But when you believe in something, when you have that strong conviction, I mean, anything in life worthwhile, my fundamental belief is, it's not going to be easy. The old idea, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And you've been down the entrepreneurial path. You know how challenging it can be. But when you believe in what you're doing and you have a passion for it, and we're blessed right now, the timing for what we're doing, it wasn't this way 4 years ago. But as every month, as every year goes by, that conviction becomes stronger and stronger, not only in me and my team, but America across the board.
Dean, there's to me that part of the power of your brand is the story behind your brand, but you also have got to produce a quality product. And you told me in the pre-interview, folks buy from you for three reasons. They love the product, they love the ethos, but you're also competitively priced. It's not, I don't have to pay $100 for a good T-shirt.
No, and that was very intentional then, because if we're going to be iconic, you know, we can't be a niche brand that a very small percentage of the population can afford. So if you are buying a known national brand, whether it's a brand like Nike or Polo or Lands' End or Under Armour, you are not only going to be blown away with the quality of our product, you're not only going to go ahead and love that it's American-made, but you're going to be paying a comparable price. So we're competitively priced.
I just, someday we'll have to have a much longer chat about how you pull that off, Dean. I'm not going to argue. I love it, and I'm shameless. Folks, visit AuthenticallyAmericanBrand.us. The evolution of your company, Dean, as I understand it, you initially started off on just business-to-business side, but that's evolved into at least two other segments, correct?
It has, and I guess tying in the earlier question about Swiffer and the $100 million year one marketing budget, the intentional choice to pursue a client B2B model first was we didn't have a massive marketing budget. We raised some capital, but we didn't have a massive multi-million dollar marketing budget. And what I learned at Procter & Gamble and Mars, if you're going to build a brand from scratch like we're doing, it's incredibly difficult because you don't have an audience. Mm. Nobody knows who you are. And as I was doing my due diligence, as I was putting together my three-year business plan, one of the things I uncovered in my due diligence is that businesses, charities, and other organizations spend $8 billion a year on branded apparel alone. And almost every business, almost every charity has T-shirts, has polos, has hats with their company logo. And until we came on the scene, there really wasn't a high-quality American-made choice that was available. And that's where we started then. And you mentioned a little bit about our national media. So after that first national TV appearance, had more and more people calling our 800 number, had more people emailing our customer service and saying, how do I get just the flag? At first, I was confused. I was like, well, what are you talking about? And they would say, Dean, love it when my company partners with you, but I want to buy just your brand. I love your logo, love your brand, love what you stand for. I just want to buy your brand. And that gave birth to our own consumer brand. And then I am a graduate of West Point. College football is so huge. We now have collegiate licenses as well. So we not only have West Point, we have all the military schools, Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, VMI, and Citadel. We have added local Nashville schools like Belmont and Vanderbilt and MTSU. And then we also have some big SEC schools we've added now, like Alabama and Auburn.
Outstanding. So is there cross-pollination that still takes place amongst those three categories, Dean, I'm guessing?
Well, Ben, that is one of the things that I love so much. And, you know, I shared a little bit about our sweat-activated print innovation, where when you work out, when you sweat, this hidden message appears. And my favorite design of the hundreds of them that we've done with our clients and our own brand, my favorite one is Go Army is pictured, but when you sweat, Beat Navy appears. And to your point on cross-pollination, we had a West Point graduate who is also a CEO himself. He bought one of those Go Army Beat Navy sweat tees, and he absolutely loved it, raved how amazing the product is. And he also said, you know what, Dean, I have a health initiative, this fitness focus on my company. So he created a custom design for his 1,000 employees. So there absolutely is that cross-pollination.
And, Dean, folks, I don't know where they can find this, but, Dean, you sent me a sort of a demo video on that T-shirt, and it's sort of, to describe, folks, it's almost like that little thing, the game we'd play with kids with invisible ink and the lemon juice, but it's that for a T-shirt. Very, very cool and innovative product. Talk before we get off this, because I do want to talk about what you're giving back to the community beyond just the jobs, Dean, but talk about the importance in relationships as you're building this brand, whether it's with your subcontractors or tell us a little bit more about your affiliate program.
So our affiliate program, and we've had a lot of people say, Dean, I believe in what you're doing. I want to go ahead and help you. I want to go ahead and help make a difference as well. So that is one factor. But then, you know, people are always saying, okay, how can I make a little bit more money to go ahead and support my family? So with our affiliate program, you in essence can be an ambassador for our brand. You can have samples that we provide you that you can wear. And then if you post a picture on social media, you send an email, send a text to your audience, your following, anything that's purchased from that unique URL code we give you, you will earn 10% back. And you're not going to retire on the money that you earn, but it's one, an opportunity to go ahead and promote a brand that you believe in and have like-minded values, and also you can make a little bit of money in the process.
I enjoy making money.
Yes, I do as well.
This is not a political talk show, Dean, but I tell you, when I talk to entrepreneurs like you, I think that one of the requisites to run for public office should be taking a economics 101 course. But that's a discussion for another day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by Dean Wegner. Learn more, authenticallyamericanbrand.us. When we come back, we mentioned early in the program, by design, Authentically American donates 10% back to veteran and first responder charities. We'll talk more about the ethos of community service when we come back. Stick around. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. For our veteran entrepreneur feature, we're talking with Dean Wegner. Dean is the founder and CEO of Authentically American. He's a West Point graduate and been profoundly successful, I think not just because, I don't think, I know, because not only has he got a sharp business mind, but he's got a broad philosophy about giving back and the story behind his brand and what he continues to do. Dean, I don't want to neglect the charities that you, as I understand it, you donate 10% back of every sale to veteran and first responder charities. Now, do you have specific designated charities, or how does that work?
So, Ben, we very intentionally do donate 10% of our profits to veteran and first responder charities. And right now there's two specifically that we partner with. One is the Folded Flag Foundation, and they provide Gold Star families with incredible, fully funded education. And the second one is Reboot Recovery. They are a faith-based PTSD program that provides incredible service to not only veterans but first responders.
And I will. Do you happen to know those websites just off the top of your head, Dean? Or I can always look them up and post them on the podcast, I'm sure. But
yeah, I don't know the specific website, but if you search Folded Flag Foundation or Reboot Recovery, they will both be the first one that pops up.
You know, one thing I've found in our latest shows, most recent shows, Dean, is I think people out there, just because, you know, we brought the folks home from Afghanistan and things are, the pace of deployment is slowing down a little bit, but that doesn't mean that the needs have gone away. In fact, I suspect in many cases they've gone up, and just we as citizens owe them a duty to support them, whether it's through your charities or others out there.
No doubt about it, and that was an intentional choice, because have incredible respect and admiration for the men and women of our military and first responders, having served side by side for them. And I should then also highlight an even broader way we have an impact in serving beyond just those two charities is when we partner with a charity, when we partner with a nonprofit, we provide our goods and services at cost. And that's a way for us to help a charity build their brand and raise some money in the process.
Now, is that any charity, Dean? It doesn't necessarily have to be military or first responder?
Any charity that I would say, you know, is doing it the right way, and we have not come across any charities that are, you know, fraudulently doing things, but that is not isolated just to veteran only. So we have worked with veteran, non-veteran, just a broad array of charities, because we're specifically focused on veterans and first responders. It ties to our story as a brand, but there are much broader needs out there than just veterans. And, you know, one example close to home here in Nashville, we partner with the Center for Courageous Kids, and they do incredible kids, incredible service for kids who are having some serious medical issues.
Wow. Well, now you got my brain going. I've got a little project I want to bounce by you Dean. But you know, also, I used to volunteer with a group called Stand Up for Kids, and they work with homeless teens and street kids. And like any, they're sort of, I don't want to say they're a franchise, but they're headquartered, I think, in Atlanta, and then they've got chapters all around the country. And of course, they have to produce the shirts and the other things they need when they go out there to do the street outreach. So even someone like that, so they just, can they go to your website and there's an application, or how do you start that conversation?
The easiest way is go to our website. There's an easy to go ahead and contact us, and you can reach out that way. Ben, you are welcome to share in the show notes. You know, my email, you can go to LinkedIn. I am very easy to track down, and that's intentionally as well. I want to be accessible when available, and very fortunate that I have an incredible team, and that's affording me the opportunity to have this discussion with you and also have a broader outreach.
Folks, I want to encourage you to ask the question of yourself, where is yours made, and keep that top of mind as you're coming up to doing your shopping. Dean, again, I'm shameless about folks that I like, but the other maybe cool idea, rather than trying to get something off a container ship somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, folks can go to your website and just buy gift cards and give those away, huh?
Absolutely. Then you don't have to worry about what size, about what color. You can just give the gift of an American-made product, and they can choose specifically what they like. So gift cards are the gifts that, you know, very easy and are available year-round.
Dean, I want to kind of wrap this up with sort of the bigger picture discussion, because I really truly mean that I appreciate what you and your company stand for and the messages that you are looking to communicate out there to all of us. I mean, we have listeners overseas, too, to our podcast, but mostly here in the United States. You had a quote that said, good or bad, we're defined by the decisions we make. So at an individual micro level, I'm going to make a decision about what to buy this week, and I want folks to consider buying American. But bigger picture, when it comes to your experience as an entrepreneur, what lessons can we learn from your stumbles, Dean? Were there any that stand out, that a mistake that the rest of us can avoid making? Or
Ben,
were you
I'm
perfect? That's
here.
Okay, too.
Well, far from that. I only know one person who's been perfect, and that ties to my whole Christian faith. But I'm laughing because we could do a whole nother hour on all the mistakes I've made. And I will tell you, one to highlight is early on, Ben, we tried to be all things to all people. And we were just drowning in opportunity, chasing everything. And it doesn't work when you try and chase everything and you try to be all things to all people. And what we realized, to deliver on our vision to build this iconic billion-dollar brand, we don't have to be all things to all people. The total U.S. apparel spend every year is $300 billion. $300 billion. So you do the quick math, that market share is only 1/3 of 1%. So, Ben, we need to find more people like you. We need to find more business owners like people that are tuning in your audience, more veteran-focused charities, because there is a sizable population out there that has like-minded values and principles, believes in the American worker, wants an amazing product. We just need to find them and focus. So that is the biggest lesson, and one of the pitfalls we made is lacking focus and trying to be all things to all people.
What, as a CEO who's appearing on national media, and I'm guessing you developed quite the network out there, Dean, what are you hearing from other CEOs and corporate executives about the concept of reshoring? Do we see a sort of a reverse tide pull effect now, hopefully?
I believe that is absolutely happening broadly across the board. And sadly, it took a global pandemic for us to make that happen. But I think the challenge is we as a country, we're not ready. You know, we don't have the infrastructure, and I can just speak specifically for the apparel industry. If overnight we said we want to double, go from 3% to 6%, it's not going to happen. It just fundamentally won't happen. We don't have the trained workforce. We don't have the infrastructure and the factories. And this is a broader discussion, but I believe it will take a partnership with business and government and schools to go ahead and help train the next generation of workforce to make sure that we can produce amazing product here in the U.S.
Now, so we both know that the trade, I mean, ever since the Chinese launched their first big junk and you know, the Aztecs were sending runners up to New Mexico, I mean, trade and commerce has always been a global marketplace. So you're not advocating for isolationism. You're just there's just a lot of places where we could do it better and just create those jobs and still be competitive.
No, absolutely, Ben. And for me specifically, one thing I love about apparel, I always joke that unless you live in a nudist colony, I mean, you make a choice every day, you know, what shirt you're going to wear. So we literally can touch every single consumer here in the U.S. and have them an opportunity to make a choice. And you talked about values versus amazing product. We very much lead with amazing product because if you buy a T-shirt from us, you buy a pair of socks, a polo, and you don't love it, you don't have an amazing product experience, who cares where it's made? Who cares that we're donating 10% to veteran charities? So we flat out, first and foremost, have amazing product, and then everything else follows and becomes important.
And folks can find out more by visiting authenticallyamericanbrand.us. Lots of and I did a diversity of products throughout there, Dean. You don't have my favorite university in there yet, but I'll talk to someone here. And actually, we'll talk to someone in all our markets and see about getting that done. Dean, really appreciate what you're doing and really appreciate your philosophy. And I just kind of cool to have a guest coming on the show and see their logo on the back of a pickup truck and traffic as well.
Ben, I was honored to be a guest, and back to the name of American Warrior aligning so well with the value and ethos we prescribe to an authentic American. I love what you're doing, and I'm honored now to call you a friend.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And don't forget, where is yours made?
I ask that question every single day.
Yeah, I kind of chuckle, Dean, because it's sort of a, you know, there's throughout communities there's all this, you know, buy Sacramento first or buy Tucson first or buy Nashville first. And I went to the website and said, hey, you know, American Warrior Radio, where this is our flagship station out of Tucson. Why don't you put us, you know, promote us? And they said, well, no, you're not local because I'm in multiple markets now. We're looking to grow and you know, we're syndicating. And I just, one of those, yeah, you got to pick the battles you want to fight. So I just kind of scratched my head and walked away from that. But someday maybe folks will, well, I guess we don't want them to ask where their radio program is made because they can find it anywhere.
That's right. And local to me starts with right here in our backyard, right in the good old U.S. of A.
Dean, thanks again for spending time with our listeners this weekend. Folks, visit authenticallyamericanbrand.us and check out what they're doing. I think you'll appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Dean. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find this podcast and over 300 others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. We're on all the streaming platforms, Apple, Google, Pandora, Spotify. You can find us anywhere. Please share these messages with other ears that need to hear them, particularly today's show. I think there's certainly some strong messages that we need to get out there. Again, if you want to support us, visit patreon.com/American Warrior Radio. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.